You're listening to SBS News. It was a landslide win that swept John Howard to power in 1996, washing away more than a decade of Labor rule under Bob Hawke and Paul Keating. With a 45-seat majority that would be the envy of today's politicians, a young government was ready to get to work on its economic reforms.
Mr. Costello will hold a media conference tomorrow to reveal the true state of the budget and how the coalition will deal with it.
Fate intervened, and less than 2 months later, the new Prime Minister and the nation were confronted with a tragedy at Port Arthur that would lead to landmark gun laws still in place today.
As soon as the full extent of the tragedy became known to me, and that was on the day it occurred, and we knew that 35 people had been murdered using these ferociously effective weapons, and I just felt that we had to do something.
The inner workings of the government in those early years have been revealed in thousands of pages of declassified cabinet files released by the National Archives of Australia. They reveal how cabinet refined the gun buyback program over months, trying to placate angry farmers, sporting shooters and collectors, and some in the government's own ranks.
I'm sorry about that, but there is no other way.
It was quite hard for members of the National Party because some of their constituents felt that they were being unfairly caught up in what was being done.
The cabinet surged ahead with economic reforms to get the budget into surplus. The National Shipping Line was sold, as was Telstra. The papers also reveal some of the tougher measures that Cabinet considered but never went through with, like a plan to put a 12-month limit on unemployment payments. Cabinet wanted the savings but internally admitted the proposal would create a poverty trap, pushing people through the doors of charities and into the informal cash economy. The Cabinet was deeply concerned about being internationally isolated over climate change.
We'll recommend the adoption of this protocol to the conference by unanimity.
And strategised about how to avoid sanctions for rejecting the binding emissions targets in the Kyoto Agreement. Cabinet historian Paul Strangio is from the National Archives.
Senior ministers counsel Cabinet that Australia should stay in the negotiating tent. Quote, "We should be seen to be pushed off the cliff rather than walking away."
When the landmark Wick case expanded Indigenous land rights, the Cabinet set about looking for new test cases it could get involved with, warning the rights of pastoralists and miners were under threat. There were big cuts to immigration, but levels were much higher by the time Mr. Howard left office in 2017. And the government went ahead with reforms that gave Australian-born citizens the right to become dual citizens. And right in the footnotes of the documents was a prescient warning that the change could cause problems for politicians much later on, as then Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull noted in 2018.
They found Barnaby ineligible for being a New Zealand citizen when he wasn't even aware he was a New Zealand citizen. So the Labor people that are caught up in this not only were UK citizens but knew they were.
Greg Dyett, SBS News. If you enjoyed this, you can find more SBS features on our website or from your favourite podcaster like iTunes, Spotify, Acast, Stitcher or Wooshka.